Reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 47, it says in the first verse, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people, I have polluted mine inheritance, and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. And they shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and art come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. For they shall call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee before it came to pass. I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from that time that thine ear was not open. For I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another? Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am he. I am the first, I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I called unto them, they stand up together. All ye assemble yourselves and hear which among them hath declared these things. The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I, even I, have spoken, yea, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, hear thee this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God in his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth to Babel, and flee ye from the Chaldeans with the voice of singing. Declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the desert. He caused the water to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. So, the Lord is telling us here that it's time to overthrow Babylon. America, to me, is a Babylon. It is time to overthrow Babylon. He's saying here that it's time to deliver the children of Israel, that they're to go forth. But before he said this, he warns Babylon, where he said, you sit as a lady, and thou sayest, I shall be a lady forever. And he said, thou sayest that I sit, and there's none besides me. And when you think of this, you begin to think of the powers of Rome, of the Catholic Church, and of how that she names her churches the Lady, and how that she feels that she is the preeminent and has control, and yet the Bible teaches that she is Mystery Babylon. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Babylon. Whereas the Bible speaks of this, and we were speaking of some things last night, and over in about the ninth chapter of Daniel, I'd like to refer you to some of these things, to just say a few things tonight about this, referring back to what God has to say. At the time of the delivering from Babylon, it says in Daniel in the ninth chapter, the 20th verse, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. But thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to bring reconciliation for iniquity and bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again and the wall even in troublous time. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now then, we've spoke of this, how that God brought this to pass, and how that it comes to pass concerning the abomination of desolation. Now, the Bible speaks of the abomination of desolation, and God speaking, as through Jesus, speaking to the disciples many years later, he said, "And when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, the place it ought not, then shall the end come." Now, when we say standing in the holy place, we've got to remember that there is a sanctuary that's called the holy place, which is the first place in the tent. The tent, two places, the holy place and the holies of holies. And he said, standing in the holy place, the place it ought not, then shall the end come. The holy place is referred to as the sanctuary. And it says here, as to the abomination that maketh desolate, that he will take away the daily sacrifice. He'll take away the daily sacrifice, and he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. It says 1 week because there is only 1 week left when he comes. 1 week, that is to say, he will confirm it for 1 week, and then in the midst of the week, the covenant shall be broken for the overspreading of the abomination that makes everything desolate. And we could comment on that tonight and go into it at length, but I just want to point out a few things here to you. Remember, it says here, 70 weeks determined upon thy people. Speaking of what Isaiah was saying here, time to come out of Babylon. Babylon the great is fallen, she's fallen. It says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Again, I say to you, when it says thy people, it is speaking of the Jewish people. Here, 975 B.C., the 10 tribes is lost in Assyria. 721 B.C., here goes Judah down into Babylon. And it was Judah that had the crown, which is referred to as the throne. The 10 tribes got in trouble going away with Jeroboam, though God gave the 10 tribes to him and took them from Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Yet because Jeroboam would not go up to Judah to worship, being afraid that some of the tribes would go back to Rehoboam, then God got upset. Jeroboam built his own altars. You remember the scripture? You remember how it goes, that down there in that particular place, he built his own altars. And these altars became an abomination to God, and God sent a prophet down there. You remember how the man slapped the prophet, his hands withered, the prophet healed his hand, and then he cursed the altars were torn down. Then you remember the prophet that spoke to this prophet, caused him to turn aside, in that God tried the prophet to see whether he would honor him or not, in that God had told the prophet to go prophesy against Jeroboam and these tribes and the altars, and go out of the city and not turn to the right nor to the left. Finish his work and to go away. The other prophet intercepted him. You remember he said something to him, invited him over to his house, said, "Thus saith the Lord, God said for you to come with me." And then when the prophet sat down to eat, the Spirit of God came upon the prophet that invited him over and said, "Thus saith the Lord, you've disobeyed God, and as you go out of here," he spoke about God slaying him, "and as you went out, a lion slew him by the way." All right, so 975 BC, we see this thing taking place as to those tribes going away. Remember, you say 975, then you say 775 and 675, or that is to say everything is running backwards as to a numerical order. And from like 1,000 years before Calvary, as to say BC, which means before Christ, it's coming down like 1,900, 800, 700, 600, so in 10 or 975, almost 1,000 years before the coming of the Lord. Here these tribes go away. And then 721 years, as to 721 BC, we find Judah going down into Babylon. And while they're there in Babylon, Daniel is just a boy. He's taken down there. He grows up. He becomes a friend of the king. You know the things that befell Daniel as to the lion's den because of the wise men that ganged up, as we say, or framed Daniel. The king loved Daniel. Daniel was the greatest wise man of them all. He advised the king. But Daniel, knowing that the time was near as to the end of the 70 years bondage, according to Jeremiah, he began to fast and pray and ask God what would befall his people in the latter times, which meant the Jews. He knew that the Jews were in bondage. He knew that. And here the great men like Isaiah and Jeremiah and the great leaders of the tribes, he couldn't find any of them. He didn't know what to do. And he knew by books, the Bible said, as to the writings of Jeremiah, that here they were down in Babylon, and Daniel growing up doing the 70 years, all of a sudden it dawned on Daniel that there was no one to lead God's people. And here Daniel finding favor down in Babylon, all of a sudden he began to think, I'm God's man. I'll seek God. I'll find out what's going on. Nobody to lead my people. I can't get a word of prophecy. I don't know what to do. And so then in calling on God, the angel Gabriel. Remember, Gabriel is always a messenger. Gabriel is the one that went to Mary with the glad tidings. It is Gabriel that always brings a message. And then Michael is always a warrior. You always find him when trouble is coming up, like Revelation 12 and like Daniel 12, whereas it speaks of Michael standing for his people, that is for the Jews in the latter time. So then we see right here that Daniel is referred back to when Jesus speaks of the abomination that maketh desolate because it has to do with the end of the world. So Daniel is down in Babylon. He's praying. The angel comes to him. In 445 BC, we see a decree going forth to restore and build the walls back unto Messiah, because the angel said that it will be, and it's in the month Nisan as to March. And the angel said from the time of the decree, that is from Artaxerxes it came, in the days of Nehemiah and through Nehemiah the cupbearer to build the walls back, the decree was, King Artaxerxes said, Nehemiah, why are you so sad? And he said, the walls of the city of my father has been torn down. How then can I be happy? And the king gave the decree. Go forth, Nehemiah, take whatever you want from the king's forest and build these walls back. And the angel said, Daniel, from the going forth of this decree to reestablish or to build the walls back to the coming of the Messiah, he said, it would be 70 weeks. He gives it like this. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, that is holy city Jerusalem, to finish the transgression. The transgression here is that which stems from Adam and Eve when Eve transgressed against God. The Bible said, and the man was not in the transgression, but the woman was found in the transgression. To make an end of the transgression, he said, and to make an end of sins, in the plural, I say that the Messiah came and he made an end of sins. That's why I say all unrighteousness is sin. But Jesus came to make an end of all unrighteousness. So then he made an end of sins. Now I say this, if I still sin, then he did not make an end of sin. If you still sin as the child of God, then he did not make an end of sin. But if I do not sin, in that I'm born of God and cannot sin, because the seed of God remaineth in me, and that seed was Christ, who made an end of sin, coming to Calvary, then that Christ, being my hope of glory on the inside, hath within me made an end of sin within me. He came in my heart to make an end of sin by sealing my angelic being, my inner man, my spiritual being. That angelic part of me is sealed by the spirit of his angel, which is the Christ, the Holy Ghost. And so then I am sealed on the inside, and God hath made an end of sin, and I don't have to worry about sin anymore. Now, so then he said to make an end of the transgression from know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem under the Messiah, it makes it plain it's Jerusalem, under the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And the streets shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. When you break this up, I'm not going into it in the particulars. We have a tape where we did one or two tapes. But when you break this up, he gives it as 7 weeks. Daniel understood by books in the writings of Jeremiah, he understood the prophecy of this angel, and he realized that one day was to be given as a year. That if 70 weeks was determined upon the people, that was a prophetical utterance. And as the measurements of a man, the Bible said, so is the measurement of the angels. So if it be 70 weeks, and Jeremiah gives the secret of it, of letting us know here, if that be the case, then that means it would be 7 times 7. Or that is to say, if I spoke to you about the feast of the weeks, it was 7 weeks. And if that is multiplied, it comes out into 49 days. And when you put one more with it, it comes out into 50 days as to going into Canaan, crossing the Jordan, and getting their harvest. As to their barley harvest at the first of the Feast of the Weeks, and as to their wheat harvest at the end of the Feast of the Weeks. And we brought that out in detail also. So then we see here that we are to see that this is 490 years. That is determined upon the Jews, and it's broke up into different measurements. As the saying, he speaks here and says, 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The first 7 weeks as to 49 years, we're back with that again. It's very obvious that this was broke up to say 7 weeks to show that it took the 49 years of the first part of this prophecy to rebuild these walls, laboring and fighting against Sanballat the half-breed. Nehemiah, the Bible said their workers had to hold a sword in one hand and they had to take their trowel to build the walls in the other hand. So then it was in troublesome times that it was built back. From the 445 B.C., that leaves us around 500 years to the coming of the Messiah. And we can't be sure about the dates as to what the scholars have said, but as near as they can find, they've set them accordingly. But so they say 500 or approximately 500 years of silence where there was no prophets. Read in your Bible there and you'll find as the 500 years of silence, that is the building back of the walls to the Messiah, and then the 500 years of silence in between this time as to the 490 years that God had gave to Daniel concerning his people. Now, what importance does this 490 years hold? Are the 70 weeks hold as to the church? It holds this as to an evaluation, as to our benefit and knowledge. It is the end of the world at the end of the 70 weeks. And this is what you want to watch so that you don't get mixed up on it. When it says 70 weeks, it's so easy to get mixed up because it says here, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to bring and to make reconciliation. That is to give salvation or opportunity for the people, even the Jews, as well as us, to be reconciled back to God, to take away iniquity, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. That is to bring in a righteousness that's not from revival to revival, or some kind of something that we think about as a righteousness, but an eternal righteousness, an everlasting righteousness, making an end of sin, taking you into the rest of the Lord. It said, and to seal up the vision. That is, he said to Daniel, seal these things up. He said to John, don't seal these things, for the time is at hand. And to seal up the vision and prophecy. That is to bring a finish to the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. That is at the end of the 70 years to anoint Jesus to rule in the millennium, to put him on the throne. I've said this again when Titus came in and burned the city. Whereas the Bible speaks of it right here, he tore down the city, he burned down the sanctuary, he burned the sanctuary. All of the records was burned up. To where there would be no record of anybody as being heir to the throne. No one but Jesus. There is no record except Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is a biblical record as to where Mary and Joseph went up to Jerusalem when Jesus was born. They have a record, therefore, of him being of the lineage of Joseph and of Mary. And the lineage of Joseph and Mary goes back to David as the son of David. So then coming down on the side of Joseph as to the lineage, coming down through there, the man by the name of Cornelius, who was corrupt. I've read it in the Bible where he corrupted his seed, and God swore because of that, not one of his seed would sit upon the throne as the lineage of David. So it switched it over to the Mary side, and coming on down on the Mary side, Mary got the blessing, brought forth the son, and the lineage comes through Mary, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four writers, record this at the birth of Jesus, which makes him the direct heir as to the throne of David. And since the kingdom belonged to David and God gave it to David, then the son of David was to inherit it someday and inheriting it as that kingdom over in Jerusalem when he comes to the throne. Then the Jews shall be made the head of the nations, and all nations will be under the kingship of Jerusalem, which will be under the king of David, the son of David, and be under the king of Israel. So then we see this. We see the great thing that God is doing to build the walls back to Messiah. It says here that, know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore to build Jerusalem under the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. That's building them back, the walls. And 62 weeks, that is from the time of the walls on, the streets shall be built again and the walls even in troublesome times. So we know that a score, as we've said, is 60. We know here that there is 7 to be added to the 60. And we see that there's 2 more weeks to be added to that, which makes 69 weeks of the 70 weeks, and then Messiah cometh. And this is what I want to point out. When you read it of Jesus making an end of sin, and you bring these things down to this particular place that we're speaking of right here, when you look at it, the first thing that you do, you think of the coming of the Messiah. You think of the end of Daniel's prophecy. You think of the end of sin. You think of reconciliation. And you think of the end of the 490 years. But that's not what it is. That's why the Bible reads here concerning the abomination of desolation, and concerning, it goes on to read here as to the end of the next part of the 70 weeks. When you say here 69 weeks, that means that there is one more week to make the 70. One more week means 7 years, and it's referred to as the last week of Daniel, or the time of Jacob's trouble. Or that is to say, from the Messiah's time, the Gentiles come in as to the wheat harvest, and from that time they go on over to the last week of Daniel. So then 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, Daniel, which means that 69 weeks has already come to the Jews. But the Jews, as to the angel's prophecy, as to seal up the vision, as to the prophecy to bring in an end of everything, as to reconciliation to the nations, there is one more week, there's 7 more years. And that 7 years from the time of Calvary has never yet come upon the Jews. There is yet 7 years that must come upon the Jews. There is a 7-year tribulation period, where Antichrist is going to be in power, and Antichrist is going to rule. 7 years yet. There are 7 years yet to come. This 7 years have never yet come. And this 7 years cannot begin until the days of the Gentiles are over. So then the Jews are waiting patiently. They've got 7 more years that God is going to deal with them. Just 7 more years. And when the days of the Gentiles are finished, then the 7 years will start and come in effect. And from that time, there's only 7 years to the end of the world. Whereas the angel stands on the land and the sea over there about the middle of the week, the Bible said the covenant is broken in the midst of the week, as to confirming the covenant for 1 week. When the Antichrist comes, he cannot confirm the covenant with the Jews for more than 1 week, because the Jews don't have but 1 week. That's 7 years. How could he then confirm the covenant more than 1 week? So then he confirms the covenant for 1 week, because the Jews only have 1 week. So then when he makes a covenant with them, he doesn't know that it's for 1 week. He doesn't understand that. He's just making a covenant with them. But in that they don't have but 1 week, that is all that the covenant can be, is a 1 week covenant. And the Bible said in the midst of this covenant, in the midst of this week, that the covenant will be broken. So then we find the middle of the week, right over in the middle of the week, the war in heaven. Daniel speaks of it in the 12th chapter of Daniel. Michael standing for his people. And then Revelation 12 speaks of it. In the beast comes up in Revelation 13 and 14. The 144,000 is upon the mountain. So then we see that the midst of the week, there where the angel set 1 foot on the land and 1 foot on the sea, raises his hand to heaven, swears by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more, that the end of the world is come, in that the blood is coming off of the seat of atonement, and when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, the world can go no more. That's the end of the world, because it is the blood on the seat of atonement that allows the world to continue. So we find that in Revelation 8, that the blood is coming off of the seat of atonement, the seventh seal is open, and silence in heaven for 30 minutes, and immediately 7 angels come forth to sound their 7 trumpets. And I brought this out to you in detail, that the angel goes over to the little golden altar, takes the coals out of the golden altar, he puts them in a censer that is filled with sweet-smelling incense as to be mixed with the prayers of the saints. And then he throws this into the earth. And when he throws this into the earth, it indicates the blood coming off of the seat of atonement, because it is over here in Revelation 6 that the seals is open. And then on down into the seventh seal, where the 144,000 is sealed, and the angels, the four angels on the four corners of the earth, is holding back the four winds of the earth. Now, in the middle of the week, the covenant is broken. It is in the middle of the week that the covenant is broken and the abomination of desolation comes in. In the middle of the week. That's why Jesus said, He is speaking to us in that He said, what I say to one, I say to all. He is speaking to you and I, but He's also speaking to the Jews. He said, and when you see, because you and I, as people of the Gentiles, we're not going to see that. It is when the Jews see that. See, we are not going to see that. We're going to be translated, even at the first of the week, the fourth chapter, the church ages being over, the second, third chapter, the church ages, and then the fourth chapter, and the voice speaks, the door is open in heaven, John goes up into heaven, and that means the church is gone out of this world because John represents the church. It is immediately when John gets up there that he sees the throne, the four beasts around the throne, the one sitting on the throne, and then the Lamb taking the book, that is the book that's sealed, with the seven seals. We've elaborated on that before. And then the seals are open, and the seals continue to be open. The fourth chapter, the voice, John goes up. Then the fifth chapter, John sees the throne, the four beasts, the books, whatever. And then in the sixth chapter, the seals are open down to the sixth seal. Right on down in the seventh chapter, and at the latter part of the seventh chapter, then the seventh seal is open, and immediately the eighth chapter, silence in heaven because of the opening of the seventh seal, and then the judgments of God in the earth. So, when we look at the sixth seal being open, the fifth seal, the souls are under the altar crying, how long, O God, before you revenge our blood upon them that dwell on the earth? And the voice is saying, yet a little while until your brethren must die even as you have died. That is, there's going to be a crisis on the Jews. There's going to be suffering on the Jews. And these are they that are under the altar, that is back beyond Calvary, the big brazen altar. They are back there having died with Jesus, went out of the presence of God. They are under the law. They are under the altars of God. And they are under the law having faith, but yet not being made perfect. And when he goes down to them, they say, how long, O God? And that's when he gives them the white robes, in that he has died for sin, and they put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the robes of righteousness. And to await until the resurrection, wait until the resurrection, whereas the Bible speaks of the coming of the Messiah on the white horse, and when he comes, that is the head, the vesture dipped in blood, that which died at Calvary when the blood streamed down the vesture, his name being called the Word of God, and here he comes on the white horse, and when he comes on the white horse, it is the resurrection of the Jews, it is the resurrection of the dead, it is called the first resurrection, in that they are now coming forth to meet the Messiah. All right, so then we see that God is doing a great thing in the sixth seal, in that the heavens roll back. After the crying under the altar, the heavens roll back. Now, we've been through this with you before about the four horse riders, and I could go through it again with you. As a matter of fact, the other night I was going through it with Brother David Paul. All of these seals are seen in Calvary, or from the time of Calvary, these things are seen as being open. And I spoke of the first seal being open. The first seal being a white horse rider, which indicated righteousness. The Lord Jesus coming in life and coming in righteousness, and the coming forth to conquer and to conquer. Even though the Antichrist is denoted in this, because Jesus was made sin.
and had to be smitten by the Father to show that this would be the end of Antichrist, in that all of the horses show Antichrist going through the smiting as God smites Antichrist, in that he smites Jesus, making Jesus the image of sin, and he that knew no sin, who made himself God, God smote him that he might spare you and I. So then we see him on the white horse, and this goes forth conquering and to conquer. Whereas Jesus conquered hell and he conquered death and conquered all of these things, and yet Antichrist went forth conquering, in that he conquered with religion like Alexander the Great did when he went down into Babylon with his Hellenistic religion. So the Antichrist has within his hand a bow. Someone has said a bow, but no arrow. It doesn't record an arrow. I agree that it's a bow and there's no arrow, which is well said. But according to what I understand, this bow that he had to do with the bow of the covenant, the rainbow, or the bow of the covenant that God said, I will set in the heavens, conquering with religion, coming forth. And the second stage is, as to the second seal being open, then comes the red horse, which indicates Calvary again. First, there is a thunder, and one of the four beasts, as to the lion first, announcing the coming forth of the horse rider. Second, there is again a thunder, and then comes the next one, as to the ox, to announce this rider that's coming forth. So then, the ox denoted the sacrifice. Here comes the second rider, and when he comes forth a red horse. And the rider is on a red horse, because when Jesus hung at Calvary, conquering through righteousness, being made sin, all of a sudden his vesture turned to blood, which indicated the red horse rider, and the ox in the announcement as the sacrifice, in that Jesus was the sacrifice of God, as going back to the ashes of the red heifer. And then all of a sudden the thunder, then comes another announcement, and then a thunder and another announcement as to the eagle, as to the man, and these four beasts around the throne announces these four things that happened at Calvary. For the third horse rider is a black horse rider, and he comes out, which means that now that Jesus has conquered by life, by righteousness through the white horse rider, now it is the red horse rider, that is to say the vesture dipped in blood, and then the next one is the black horse rider, which means as the blood came forth, the life and the blood departed from the body, and all of a sudden the heavens turned dark as that cloth of hair, Jesus the life departing. It was darkness, the dark horse rider, the black horse rider, as dark, as black as that cloth of hair. This is the black horse rider. There is within his hand balances to show that the world is now weighed in the balances and found wanting because Jesus has conquered death. And in the red horse rider, a sword in his hand, whereas the Bible said, think not that I've come to bring peace, but rather a sword. From henceforth, there shall be two in the house, one divided against another. To come into salvation means that your fellow man, your brothers, your sisters, aren't going to accept you anymore. It's at war. See, it brings the blood, it brings the war, it brings the division, even into these countries that we're going to. They don't like for us to come in there if they find out that we are a minister. They don't want us messing with their paganistic practices of life. So then after this, the next horse rider was announced, and this horse rider comes forth. He is the pale horse rider. And the Bible said death and hell followed him, which means when the darkness come over Jesus, in that God the light hath withdrawn and everything was black as sackcloth of hair, all of a sudden it meant that death came after the darkness and that the life departed, the body of Jesus was now dead. It was still. It was hanging there. It was the pale horse rider. And with the death of Jesus, there came forth death. Death and hell. With the death of Jesus, as to the pale horse rider, then with the body dead, then he went down into the chambers of hell. For the Bible said he suffered not his holy one soul to remain in hell, nor Jesus to see corruption as to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the four riders. Then with this, all of a sudden, Jesus, having gone down into the bowels of the earth, down into the chambers of hell, all of a sudden the next opening of the seal is that there are in the fifth seal the souls of them seen under the altar. Jesus has gone down into the heart of the earth to preach to the souls that are in prison, and the body is laying still in the grave, and the Spirit of God, which is the Christ, has departed, and now the ministering to the spirits that are in prison. And here he is looking at the souls that are under the altar that died in the faith back in the time of Moses. He is ministering. As they ministered, they cried, "How long? How long?" That is to say, "We've been here a long time. How much longer?" he said. And then Jesus reminds them of the tribulation period, the killing out, or the time from here on out when they'll kill the Jews and the Holocaust and all these other things. So then we see five of the seals open. All of a sudden, then we look for the opening of the sixth seal. When the opening of the sixth seal comes, it indicates the conquering in the heart of the earth and the Lord Jesus coming back up to pick up his body. And in picking up his body, the spirit that went away came to pick up the body. When it came to pick up the body, then Jesus ascended up into the heavens to indicate that the heavens had opened up to mankind. And as a confirmation of that, Paul, as the man-child through the travail of the woman, which is the Jew, which is Jesus at Calvary, got caught up into the third heaven, whereas he said, seeing things it was not permitted for him to speak, and Antichrist went away as through the church ages to make war with the remnant of his seed. We could say a whole lot about that. But anyway, we're just going to kind of skip along here till we can finish our thought. So in the opening of the sixth seal, the rending of the veil, the separation of the Lord and the Christ, all Calvary, John writing about this expose over on the Isle of Patmos. So then when we see this thing, the sixth seal is open. With the sixth seal, it said, and the heavens rolled back as a scroll. And then it said, and the stars fell from heaven as a fig tree, referring to the Jews, as when a fig tree shakes her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. So we see that here the Spirit as the wind comes forth. When it comes forth, the heavens roll back as a scroll. That is, the Lord has made a way, a door that's open in heaven that John saw at the end of the church ages in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. So then, the heavens are now opening. And with this, the Jews went out of the presence of God. Because they were in the presence of God, they were the holy people of God, they were in heaven, in the first heaven, in the presence of God, and they went out into intellectual darkness, not being able to find their way anymore. They had rejected the light, even the Messiah. And the Bible says, and they shall come from the east, and they shall come from the west, and they shall sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom, and the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The children of the kingdom of David was the Jews. They went out of the presence of God. They went out of the kingdom. And it was taken away from them. Because they said, "Will ye at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? Or unto us?" He said, "That's not given to you to know." He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." That is, Christ was saying The days of Jesus is over right now. You've rejected your Messiah as King of the Jews. This is Christ that will go in Paul to the Gentile church to get a bride for Christ. So then we see here that the stars, the Jewish people, fell in the darkness. They fell from heaven. They were no longer in the presence of Almighty God. They fell from heaven. They went into darkness so that the Gentiles could come in. For they were taken out of the kingdom, cast into the outer darkness of the ignorance. And then they are at the wailing walls, beating and begging, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And they came from the east, as to the Gentiles, and they came from the west, and they sat down in the place of the children of the kingdom, in that they were translated as Gentiles into the kingdom of God. For the Bible said, the law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom has been preached, and men pressed their way into it. And the kingdom of God has since that time suffered violence at the hand of men. So they came from the east to the west. They sat down in the place of the children of the kingdom. So we see the sixth seal open. We see the stars falling from heaven. And knowing that the Jews was typical of that which is to come, that means that there's coming a time when people are going to be cast into the outer darkness, into the flames of hell, and weeping and gnashing of teeth, gnashing on one another, just as these Jews have wept and gnashed in going through the Holocaust when they mutilated them and done all of these evil things to them. See, crying for Messiah. Oh, Messiah, where art thou? The little black cap, the black clothes, the veils, all these things showing that there's a middle wall of partition as to death and intellectual reasoning standing between them and life. For to be carnally minded is death. All right, so I could comment on that for 2 hours. But anyway, we see then the sixth seal is open. Now, with the opening of the sixth seal, they run, the people on the earth, they run for the rocks and for the mountains, crying, "Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne." Because with the sixth seal opening, it means that the Gentile days are over, and that time from Calvary over to the Gentile church is now expired. It's gone. So then, the coming of the Messiah is there. Because the Bible says they run for the rocks and the mountains. It's the end of the church ages. And that John has been caught up in the fourth chapter. And here it is up in heaven. The things that are happening in heaven. The door that Peter opened. John went in. Jesus the door. So here we see the sixth seal open. We see the stars falling from heaven. The people running for the rocks and the mountains and crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, saying, "Hide me from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, for the sign of the Son of Man has appeared in heaven." And the Bible said, "For the great day of his wrath has come." And immediately God seals 144,000 Jews, because it is the end of the days of the Gentile. The church has gone away. Because at that time that the Son of Man appears, John sees this great multitude in heaven that's already there before the throne. And he is in heaven with them. And he looks down into the earth and he sees the turmoil of the four winds that's been held back, the same as Daniel saw them, to wrestle over the waters, which is over the people. Those powers from the four corners of the earth that's going to try to set up dominion as a dynasty or as a regime over the people, they are there ready to be turned loose. And 144,000 is being sealed in the earth because that is the end of the days of the Gentiles. And it's carried right on over just a little ways, and the blood comes off of the seat of atonement as recorded in Revelation 8. as the last seal is opened, which is the seventh seal, and from the seventh seal comes the seven trumpets, goes on to the seven vials, because in the opening of the seventh seal, it indicates that from Calvary, all is over, all is finished. We've been translated in heaven. There's no more earth for us. We're no more in the world. And now it is being manifested to the Jewish people, as in the last week, what has happened from Calvary, because they are now coming into it. And we could comment again and again on the breaking of the covenant as to the middle of the week, whereas we've commented some on this before. Maybe we'll comment more on it later. But as it is written, Paul said, out of Zion shall come forth the deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. So then the house of Israel is the 144,000, 12 sons, 12 tribes, over which the 12 apostles will rule, in that they represent the sons as to the spiritual sons, and Christ as to the spiritual Jacob. In the millennium, this will be the rule. Under these will be the nations. So here we see the 144,000 going through the tribulation period to where they cannot be hurt, in that the word is said, now you cannot hurt them that are sealed in the forehead. And Revelation 14, they appear on Mount Zion, where the tomb of David is, or having to do with the tomb of David, in that the Lord Jesus himself stands upon the Mount of Zion, coming down upon the Mount of Olives, which is just across from the walls as to the Temple Mount, and coming through the broken gates as to the golden gates of the walls, coming inside, walking up on the Mount of Zion, and all of the 144,000 standing with them upon the Mount. Then that indicates the catching up of the man-child, and the woman of Revelation 12 is the Jews going into the wilderness, which is the Jewish people. That means that all of a sudden Gog and Magog will come down upon the Jews, and the Jews will flee out of the city, salvation being of the Jews, the catching up of the man-child, we as to the spiritual extent over here in heaven. So then when the 144,000 goes up, the woman is driven out of the city. They flee after her, and she goes the way to a place prepared for her for times, time and a half a time, which means as to be hid from the Antichrist for the last part of the week. For the covenant has been broken. Antichrist has slipped in the first part of the week. The personification of Lucifer comes in the middle of the week. The two prophets have tutored Israel, and they are killed. They are caught up, and all of a sudden the wrath of God comes down upon Jerusalem. It's divided into several parts, and the wrath of God comes upon the Antichrist. Sores fill the bodies. They gnaw their tongue for pain. Everything goes into darkness. All of these horrible things, and the seven vials are poured out upon the Antichrist's kingdom. And the river Euphrates is dried up to make way for the kings of the east, as the bringing in the great kings, as to the Chinese people and the others, to bring about the great slaughter of the battle of Armageddon, where the blood will run up to the horse's bridle, when all nations are gathered in by the power of Antichrist, through that of the unclean spirits, as the frogs that's gone into all the world working miracles. Well, that is to say that the woman will go into the wilderness. They'll drive Jerusalem out of the city. The 144,000 will go up to the mountain. That's the seed of Jacob, the house of Israel, being sealed. And then the Antichrist will go to make war with the remnant of the woman, as cutting out a dress, throwing away the remnant. That is to say, that which is thrown away. Sometimes you might save a piece of it, sometimes you might not. So he'll go to make war with the remnant, in that there will still be some that will remain in the city, because there'll always be the compromise. In this, we see the breaking of the covenant, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And we see then that it is in Daniel that we can tell that there is another week when Messiah makes an end of sin, when Titus comes to plow the city, that this also has reference on over to the last week of Daniel. That when the last week of Daniel comes, then the abomination comes. Then all of these horrible situations comes. And then the king is anointed to make an end, that is, of sin to the Jews, as to finish the transgression, as to the Jews, not as that in heaven which we are, as Christ, and as the angels, as to the indwelling spiritual Jew, but as that to be made manifest in the earth, as the Messiah with his nail prints, and as to the body which is the Jew, the reconciling of the world, as to the casting away and the resurrection of the dead, as to the Jews coming in to set up a kingdom in this earth, that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ, and he shall rule and reign forever and ever. So then we can see here that the week goes on over as to the finishing and the sealing up of the vision and of the prophecy that is going forth. So I wish we had a lot of time just to comment on this, but trying to bring it down to where we can understand that in the opening of the seventh seal, after the sounding of the seventh trumpet, that from there on out, the finishing over to the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, even the coming of the new city, that it's all within the seventh seal as to the ending from Calvary over, and that it is within the seventh trumpet as to the finishing of the mystery. If you'll notice, it's always the separation, the opening of six seals, and then one tarries a little while. The sounding of six trumpets, and then a breach in, and one tarries a little while. And in every one of these things, it's the same all the way down. See, so there is something magnificent that's happening right now. And what I'm trying to tell my people is that we are Jews in reality. We are spiritual Jews. And these things are happening to us spiritually. We should be great and mighty in the knowledge of God. We should be living in a world of revealing. That is to say, a world of revelation, where we are seeing in the mind of God these great and mighty things and experiencing these things as in the vision of the revelation of the Son of God. We should be having the greatest time that anyone could ever have. This is the great moment. This is the time of refreshing. This is the revealing in that Paul said from Calvary as to the day that you come to acknowledge it or comprehend the heights and depth, but now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even unto his righteousness, even unto his great power, even unto the great things, even unto the principalities and heavenly places. We now know these things. And how this knowledge is heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels if we will apply ourselves to be part of this great, wonderful thing. So let me say this in closing. Calvary, Revelation 12, Jesus, the body, the woman, the Jew, hanging there, travailing. And the Son being born, as to the Son being born, the Christ coming forth in the heart of Paul for that Son in Revelation 12 was caught up to the third heaven. And immediately Paul was caught up to the third heaven. And then comes the persecution upon the church as to persecuting the woman. And the woman going out of the presence of God. In that the woman going out of the presence of God, a place is prepared for her as to the time of her ignorance when God can protect her and will not require it of her until she knows to do good, and then it will become sin. To him that knoweth to do good, it shall be sin. So during this time, the woman will be sealed out, and Satan will make war with the remnant of the seed, in that they're scattered all over the world. And the Jews have went through great persecution as to the Holocaust, in that even here in Atlanta, Georgia, many years ago, the man by the name of Frank Leo that worked at the pencil factory, they hang him, accusing him of the death and the defiling of little Mary Fagan that worked at the pencil factory many years ago. They used to have a song they sang. It's just been recently in the paper that this was cleared up, that was the janitor that worked there, that somebody saw him as he took the body out after mutilating and defiling and killing the girl. But Frank Dupree, they called him. He died. He was hanged because people hated Jews. And of course, the wrath of God coming upon the people to the uttermost, they had to pay because they cried, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." All right, let's stand together. A lot of things I'd like to say, but like I said, I'm just drinking water, yeah, put it in, and it's running right back out. Many things that we need to say, because you can tell through the preaching that the things that I've said really needs a lot more detail, a lot more preaching, a lot more time. But we've tried to be considerate and understanding through all of these things as down through the years to give you a break and a little bit along to try to share with you the great mysteries of God. For the Bible said, "Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, and caught up in heaven." So I, Paul said, am made a steward of the mysteries. I want you to remember to pray for me. Remember the old time religion. The old time religion. I'm going to call Brother Richard Gills to come up here and dismiss us in prayer. And while Richard is coming, think about what I said and the old time religion. Think about the old time religion. That's the only kind that will ever do. There'll never be another that will do. A lot of religions in the world to live by, but they're not good enough to die by. And this that we're preaching is the old time religion. Praise God.